is a brand of cereal that since 1954 has been a staple of American culture. The cereal is Trix, T-R-I-X. And you ought to know, adults, and all you who are young at heart, that Trix are for kids. The commercial for Trix, when I was growing up, kept us kids on the edge of our seat, wondering if Silly Rabbit would ever get to eat a bowl for himself. Having been hungry a lot, we were sympathetic. We felt a bit sorry for the rabbit and thought that those kids on the commercial were too mean because they wouldn't share. Then, in 1991, commercial viewers were invited to vote on whether or not Rabbit would be allowed to eat a bowl full of Trix. America's children responded with overwhelming yes, and subsequent commercials depicted the rabbit enjoying a sweet, delightful bowl of Trix. But ever since that one bowl, poor Rabbit has not had another. The men and the women who bring you Trix want to be sure that you understand that Trix are for kids. At the heart of today's gospel, John 1, verses 43 to 51, the gospel we hear today, one can detect the lesson that Trix are for kids. But by this is not meant the cereal Trix, but T-R-I-C-K-S, Trix. And in this case, it means those things that are unnatural to man, things that our Lord Jesus could do on earth because he is God. Now, when God does them, they're not Trix, really, but rather a revealing of God's power in Christ Jesus. Nonetheless, when one sees Jesus doing all these things that only God can do, such as reading minds, or changing water into wine, or using a little dirt and saliva to heal a blind man, we are to discern that these things are minor compared to the greater power of God, which is to accomplish forgiveness for us by letting his own Son die on the cross. Let's listen again to the text to hear how Jesus did one of these tricks today in the gospel reading. It started when Philip, a disciple of Jesus, came to Nathanael and said, "We have found the one whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote," meaning the Messiah or Christ. Nathanael doubted. Having considered the claim, he asked, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" But Philip urged him, saying, "Come and see." Still skeptical, Nathanael followed Philip and came to Jesus. And as he approached, Jesus began to speak to him as if he already knew Nathanael, even though Nathanael and Jesus had never met before. "How do you know me?" asked Nathanael. Jesus answered, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Well, see, Jesus here demonstrated his omniscience, his all-knowingness, showing he is greater than mere man. He is God in the flesh. Nathanael was impressed. He responded, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." And to that, Jesus began to teach in a kind way that Trix are for kids. This showing of divine power was nothing compared to that which was to come. Jesus said, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see the heavens opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Jesus said something similar to Thomas Didymus, Thomas the twin, after the resurrection, after Easter. He said, "Have you believed because you have seen me resurrected? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." Some people say that seeing is believing, but it's not true. God's word teaches us the opposite, that believing is seeing. And hearing the word of God, the true word, purely preached, is what prompts us to believe in the first place. We find God's power today, not in the hocus pocus of Harry Potter magic tricks or in slick-dressed pastors who can turn water into wine, but in the humble word that tells us everything Jesus has done to atone for our sins and to verify our oneness with the Father. God veils his glory in his word so that we must hold to him by faith, not by sight, until that great day when the curtain drops, the veil is removed, and all will see and behold Jesus as the author and perfecter of our faith. On that day, as Jesus said in the text, we will see the heavens opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man, who is also the Son of God, the King of Israel. But until then, we have the word of the cross. Many people want God to do a trick on demand so that they'll really believe and know for sure that Jesus is God. But Jesus teaches us today that tricks are for kids. The cross is for Christians. Don't believe God merely because God can shake a mountain or move the earth, or because he protected you that one time when you had that really bad car accident, or when you fell out of the third story of a window and should have died. These may indeed be evidences of God's care, his love, and his power, but not the real reason to believe. Remember, God allows the evil one to have power on earth to do tricks just the same. In the Old Testament, Pharaoh's magicians could turn water into blood, or the witch of Endor could summon up Samuel in a seance in order to tell Saul about his future. These are tricks. Don't simply believe because there are tricks. Rather, believe because the love revealed by God through the word of the cross and the word of the empty tomb. Believe because God's word calls you to be who you are, children of God and heirs of his kingdom, brothers and sisters trusting in the true and only God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and showing love for all humanity, especially those who are in need. The word of the cross and the working of love, these are the evidence of our faith, and it is all we need. One more thing from today's gospel that we should embrace, the example of Philip going to Nathanael to tell him of Jesus. His method is noteworthy. It wasn't fancy, but it was earnest. He simply said, "We have found the Messiah. Let me take you to him." When Nathanael doubted, Philip was persistent. He didn't give up. He said, "Come and see." May we learn from this the Spirit's power that can work through our persistence. After all, Jesus is the one who draws all people to himself, and he cannot fail. Therefore, when you are talking to other people in the world, invite them to church to find Jesus. And when they doubt at first, invite them again. Tell them to come, not because we have the best potluck in town, not because the pastors talk about food every week in every sermon, not because the youth group really rocks. Well, we do stuff, but God knows that we are happy to be unrocking. Not because the pews are the most comfortable in the whole world, hardly. Not because we don't do things like they do in the Baptist church. True, true, but that's not the reason why we invite people to our fellowship. The real reason we invite people to church is because Jesus is really here. Some will say, "I doubt it. It looks to me like you've got a bunch of hypocrites there." We respond, "Yes, we do. And we've got room for one more. Come on in." But let there be no doubt, our God is not a hypocrite. He indeed comes in his word. And we believe in baptism. And we believe in the Lord's Supper. That's where God really comes. He really does forgive us and demonstrates his love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. His love is greater than our faults, and his love removes our faults as far as the east is from the west. Come and see. We have found the Messiah. No trick. He is with us. Come and see. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We rise.